Today on the Almond Journey podcast.
It certainly made a dent into the carryover. Hopefully, it gets the stocks to use ratio to a level that'll be conducive for the price of almonds to move up.
Michael Kelly talks about the challenges of last year's crop and what it means for this year and beyond. Hey, welcome back to the Almond Journey podcast, brought to you by the Almond Board of California. On this show, we discuss how growers, handlers, and other stakeholders are making things work on their operations to drive the almond industry forward. I'm your host, Tim Hamrich, and I get to travel up and down the valley, virtually in most cases, to feature the leaders who are finding innovative ways to improve their operations, connect with their local communities, and advance this almond industry. Today, we're going to take you back to the Almond Conference 2023, where I had the chance to sit down with Michael Kelly, President and CEO of Central California Almond Growers Association. Central California Almond Growers is the largest almond holder sheller operation in the world. They are an ag services co-op with around 380 farmer members from northern Kern County all the way up to Merced in east-west across the entire valley. Michael first appeared on this podcast back in episode 42, and today he returns to talk about some of the challenges with the 2023 crop, especially the major problems with navel orangeworm damage. We discuss some of the factors that led to it being such a difficult year for this pest damage and what to watch out for in the future. Also, he's involved with a really interesting project to try to help with navel orangeworm management. And it's always great to hear the perspective in general of a holler sheller about where the industry's heading and how things might be able to be improved. So enjoy this Almond Conference 2023 interview with Michael Kelly.
This year was by far the oddest and strangest season that I think I've ever encountered. This is my 19th year. I came from the cotton industry, but in my 19 years, I've never seen one that's been plagued with so much adversity. And it's heart-wrenching, from the farmer level. You know, we started off with a very poor pollination period because we had high amounts of rain, which we badly needed. And that prevented growers from going in and doing their normal infield sanitation, which has been proven this year that it's absolutely necessary. That ended up causing a lower yield. Pest pressures became very large with less almonds to go to. And that really showed up with navel orangeworm. Navel orangeworm levels are like I have never seen. Because remember, we had two rain events also, remnants of two hurricanes that were moving across the Pacific, far away from us, but they were subtropical depressions when they came into California. One was in late August, one was in mid-September, and both of those caused product to stay out in the field a lot longer than it normally would, thereby also causing pest pressure to increase to pretty significant levels. We actually saw live worms coming in from the field. It was just really, really a bad year.
Had you ever seen that before?
No. We always get some level of live worms, but it's very, very small. Yeah. And then there are small worms that have just hatched. This year, we actually saw large worms, which means they had been feeding for quite a long time. So it goes to the everything this year, the timeliness of what the growers could do. We were hampered by what we could do. Everything as far as timing was just flawed. And then you add to that the situation with the growers, with almond pricing being so low, they did not have the money to do field sanitation, many of them. And then when it came time for them to spray, many elected not to spray. And that really cost a lot in the end.
So in some cases, was it that, hey, I can cut costs a little bit on sanitation and hope it's not a bad year, and then it turned out to be a horrible year?
Yes. It was like a perfect mix of everything that could go wrong to make that navel orangeworm get just to monumental levels.
And as far as the growers that did do effective sanitation, obviously everybody had a problem, but it was noticeable in the damage.
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question, because where we know that growers did everything right, their levels were extremely low. I mean, I'm speaking of one grower. I won't tell you his name. He's a small grower. He did everything right. He had two truckloads of nonpareil that came in. They're at like a 0.3 and 1.3 for navel orange worm. I use him as an example because there's a myriad of other growers that were larger growers that we experienced the exact same thing. It's the difference between night and day, how important the infield sanitation is post-harvest and the need to do those well-timed applications for pests when it's needed. And a lot of times, remember, with those pests, it's not when you actually think you're ready to go. It's actually a few days. It can be, you know, 2-3 days actually before that because of the situation where you have to make sure that it's timed for things that might be happening in the field that you don't know about yet. It's crucial that growers understand that timing, which is well publicized with the University of California Extension Service.
Yeah. Wow. And what types of, you know, levels of navel orange worm damage were you seeing this year?
You know, we saw anywhere from 10 to 20%. And I got to be real honest with you. So what's that mean? If you have a 10% damage on almonds, when we run it through the huller sheller, that number doubles. So when it came into us, the almonds actually were at 20%. We got 10% out. That went to our hash bin. And then we prettied up the grower product. And this is kind of another interesting story. I'm really proud of what we did with the cleanup job on grower product. But one of the reasons that we were able to help them from a quality standpoint in getting the damaged out is because the product was so damaged. And remember, the primary tool in an almond sheller is air. So we were able to aspirate out a lot of that product because there's a weight differential. In the almond hauling business, everything's based on weight. So the more that we can blow out, the more that we can protect the good product. So if you have that disparity between light and heavy, we're able to aspirate the light out. And why is it light? Because it was so chewed up, we were able to blow it out. So that helped. I mean, we were able to make that separation and be able to, in most cases, be able to deliver a quality product to the growers, albeit by quality, I mean that most of it on a Blue Diamond standard was, you know, better than 60% was S1, which is the lowest grade you can have. But we were able to present a product to them that was saleable.
Right. And does that process, does that require communication between you and the growers ahead of time that say, hey, we've got some issues here that really need to be addressed? Or is it just kind of a natural byproduct of the process?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it doesn't befall us. It's mostly on the packer side to engage the grower and for the grower as well to be engaged in all of the venues that they can go to, like the Almond Board Convention, to try and learn about these things so that they can do a better job next year. One thing we're going to be pushing for is more timely information back from the grower. And I'll give you an example. Say a grower has 4 truckloads that he's bringing into our plant. That completes the field. We ask them to mark on the delivery ticket that it's the last load. Let's say it's 3 truckloads. They didn't mark last load. So now it sits because we think another load's coming in because they didn't mark last load. On a go-forward basis, with the situation with navel orange worm, we've got to hear from the grower that they're done and that last truck is on the way in. So from our standpoint, we've got to do more engagement with the grower to get timelier information about when we can cover up that pile and get it fumigated on their behalf. We can do that, but we need better feedback than we've gotten in the past. Remember, before this year, it was manageable. The problem wasn't as bad. But one of the things that happened many years ago, we lost a chemical called chlorpyrifos. And when we lost chlorpyrifos, that was the last bow in the quiver that could have helped a year like this. And so our efficacy of some of the pesticides that we could use are not necessarily of a level that when we have a large problem like we had this year, that we can knock it down. Now, clearly, it's very difficult times for the growers. So I completely understand. I used to be a cotton grower. And, you know, you have a situation in cotton where bad crops just keep getting worse. That's exactly what happened in this instance. And when I was a cotton grower, you're always trying to look for ways this year to decrease costs. But with this navel orange worm and with the lack of tools that are out there to control it now, growers just unfortunately need to step up and do their sanitation and watch their timings on the sprays next year. Make sure that gets done, because to not do it just makes it worse.
Yeah. And then with, with prices where they are, and then the high levels of damage, that has to really take its toll on grower profitability, I can only imagine.
Right, right. The only good thing that happened this season is it's certainly made a dent into the carryover, and it'll get the, for next season, hopefully it gets the stocks to use ratio for almond kernels to a level that'll be conducive for the price of almonds to move up. In recent days, we actually have seen a little bit of a bump, because I think the marketplace is just realizing what happened with the industry.
And are you hearing of growers reducing almond acreage in your area?
Yeah, we don't know yet. We're just sending out our acreage survey that'll go out at the first of the year. We'll wait for that to come back. But I suspect that there's going to be further trees that are going to be pulled. These would be trees that are going to be in the 18-year-old range that just aren't going to be productive. And I should say that with a caveat. It's great that the market has gone up. We don't know how high it will go, but I don't think the market is going to attain significantly high levels that would negate further trees being pulled out that are going to be in excess of 18 years old.
What other types of pressures for you as a holder sheller do maybe growers not realize that you're having to deal with that maybe wouldn't be on the top of growers' minds on a day-to-day basis?
Well, a lot of it has to do with labor issues. The labor force has changed. You have a situation where there's been so many entitlements. Sick leave is one of them. So, for instance, we're going to finish in a week. We are juggling like crazy right now because people come in and wanting you to use their state mandated sick leave, and they don't tell us, and they don't have to present a doctor's note. So at a hauler sheller levels, those are some of the things we're really struggling with, is this new paradigm with regards to who's running the company, you know, us or the employees. And it would be nice if they just let us know, but a lot of these programs are set up so that we're not really involved with that. They tell us after the fact, and it makes it really, it's a real safety concern for our plants, you know, to walk into a, potentially walk into a plant and you have two people that showed up for work and they're operating the plant. That can't happen. So if that did happen, we have to shut down the plant. We're actually going next year from 3 days to 5 days. That's been mandated. So the problem will be even worse next year.
We've been hearing a lot about brown spot as well as a new pest, this Australian beetle. Are you seeing any of that in your area?
Yeah, the beetle, to my understanding, will make somewhat of an oval hole instead of a navel orange worm, which will make more of a round hole. So I've seen evidence of it. I have not seen it. For some reason, in our area and in the counties that I was telling you about earlier that we draw from, we just haven't seen it yet. But it is noticeable. The University of California Extension Service had come out and made us aware of it real early. So we've been looking for it. But it did, and I got to be quite honest with you, we may have had it come in, but it's just getting overwhelmed with the amount of navel orange worm that was brought in. But so far, we haven't seen it.
Yeah. Hmm. Great. Well, as we enter 2024, what's top priority for you?
Well, from a visionary standpoint, you know, I talked about watching costs, but one thing that I'm involved with is a program that I was involved with when I worked in the cotton industry, not only as a grower, but I was tangentially involved with it when I worked for the National Cotton Board. And that was a pink bollworm eradication program that took place. At this time, there's a facility that irradiates pink bollworm that's not doing that anymore because the pest was eradicated. We're trying to switch that plant, or we have successfully switched that plant to rearing sterile navel orange worm moths that since 2018 have been dropped in a localized area in the San Joaquin Valley and programs funded by the federal government. And the idea is to suppress a navel orange worm to a level that we can preserve our chemistries that are being taken away from us. And it's a great story because it will help us to preserve what we've got, but also do something that serves the governor's call to get away from pesticides. So it's not about eradication, it's about suppression. And it's showing a lot of merit. So I'm very excited about that from a visionary standpoint. I think it would be one of the greatest things that happened for the industry. And there's those of us that are on the almond and the pistachio and the walnut side that are working with the University of California and with USDA on this program. And there's some wonderful researchers that are bringing in some awesome data. If there's a year to test it, it was this year and last year. And it looks like it's showing a lot of merit this year.
Really? And so how do they test it? How do they? Because, I mean, obviously, the presence of naval orange worm probably isn't a good way to monitor if it's working or not, I imagine, because it could swing so widely year to year. So how do they determine whether it's on track?
Well, there's pack out reports. So this year was really bad. And so in this general area where there are four 640 acre blocks, they have been going out and picking up samples. So when they go out and pick out, they'll walk a row after they have laid the almonds on the ground. They check for the level of damage that's inside those piles. Then they get the pack out report from the packer and they see how they compare. And what we've heard so far, it's looking very
good.
That's
great. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, I know this is a tangent, but is this how they eventually eradicated the pink bollworm, or was it a totally different approach?
Well, the pink bollworm program was actually about suppression also. It was a bit about preserving the chemistries that were out there. Then what happened is there was the opportunity where BT cotton came into place. So when a worm would eat the BT cotton, then it would die. So both programs worked, but it was important because there were always, when BT was introduced, there were always wilds that were out there. So had it not been for the sterols working in conjunctions with the BT, you would not have been able to achieve eradication. So it was really successful. But for the longest time, including when I was growing cotton, it was just about suppression.
And the idea for the naval orange worm is that the sterile females will mate with the males and outcompete the other females and kind of keep the populations manageable.
That's right. Yep. We've got an aggressive moth. It's a new moth that was bred. And it seems to be doing quite a good job. So it's been a long process. It's taking what was basic research and doing it again, because we had the pink bollworm program. Then we had to make sure that we had a moth that would actually survive in the lab, because it's a little bit larger than pink bollworm. And then we had to be able to drop it. We had to get it to the airport, bring it to California, drop it on this area with the same levels of mortality that we saw in the pink bollworm, which is negligible. So, and then it had to be a good moth. So now we've got all the components. And so I look forward to that program and hopefully helping the growers in the future, especially with saving our chemistries that we've got.
Definitely. Great. Well, Michael, this has been excellent. Any closing words of wisdom you want to impart upon the almond industry?
No, other than I just feel like this industry has just been wonderful for California. It's got a great story to tell. It's got a nutritious story to tell. The Almond Board of California, along with all the players in the state, are trying to do everything to be good stewards so that we can tell a good story for the number one crop in California.
Thank you for doing this.
You bet. My pleasure.
Thank you once again to Michael Kelly for taking time during TAC 2023 for that interview. If you're listening and you'd like more information about naval orange worm management, there's a great page on the almonds.com website, which I will link to directly in the show notes. Well, we here at the Almond Journey podcast believe everyone in the almond industry has a story of their own of how they're making things work on their farms or in their jobs. Hearing the voices of industry leaders, people like Michael Kelly, may have sparked a connection or an idea that you can use in your own journey. And that's why we want to feature these stories of innovation, resilience, and community here on this podcast. I hope you'll come along for the ride by following or subscribing to the show on your podcast platform of choice. And please pass it along to someone else in the industry, so we can all share in this almond journey together.